Hello and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I'm your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX, and I'm here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. You can find all of our other podcasts at ComicRoast.com. You can find our written board game, TV, and movie reviews at ReviewAndRoast.com. Yeah, we don't have too much other social medias that we care about right now. So, moving on, our number one for the week is actually going to be an issue zero of A Tomahawk by Donny Cates, Ian Betterman, Taylor Esposito, and a few other special thanks, so we won't mention the special thanks.
Word.
Over-under for this week is going to be signature weapons, you know, like Batman's got the Batarang, and Wonder Woman's got the bracelets, and
Cloud's got the awesome sword of super awesomeness.
Right, you know, so, you know, signature weapons you see with certain characters, and this doesn't, spans all genres, doesn't have to be comics, doesn't have to be movies, and so on and so forth.
Circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now?
Other than that, I guess we'll just jump right in. As you'll notice, these have been pretty missing MIA lately. But, you know, like I said in the last one, we've all been kind of just busy. It's been kind of hectic around here, and Brian and I are doing our best to keep the boat afloat.
Oh.
Rhyming. Hashtag.
Float of a boat.
MC.
And honestly, I've been slacking Major League on comics the last couple months. I get stuff, I'm like, wait, this is a thing? I'm like, all right, whatever.
Well, it's actually funny you mentioned that, because I know I've mentioned it. In the last couple of weeks, I've knocked down a good 24 or so single issues. Picked up probably more than that, unfortunately, because my boxes have been extremely full lately at the store. But I was like, you know, I know you guys, you know, it's been about a year now since Department H started, and, you know, I was always big into it, and every month I was reading. So I finally... Last week, I sat down, and I'm like, sweet, I'm going to read all of this, I'm going to catch up, and I did, and then I got to the store the next day, and I'm like, holy shit, I'm like 5 issues behind. How did I miss so many? But then, you know, I start to realize, like, I haven't been coming regularly for a while. Like, it's kind of sporadic, and lately I've just been going in, grabbing my box, and leaving, and I'm not subscribed to Department H because I honestly don't know why. I was thinking maybe there would be different covers, and I like to, like, you know, go through and pick my stuff, and there's just certain books I pull from the shelf instead of subscribing to, and I don't know why. It just seems to be a hassle sometimes to put stuff on and take stuff off and whatever.
I feel like I'm just out of the loop.
Yeah.
A couple things are really kind of bumming me out with comics of late. Dying of the Dead came back like a few months ago, and I was like, yes, finally. And then I got issue 4, which was the first one in over a year, and maybe I just forgot what the hell happened before it, but it was really boring. And I'm like, wow, this thing took a nosedive, and it took forever to come out. And then I got issue 5, and I'm like, I don't even give a shit if I read this thing. I actually got 6 sitting at my table now, and I just don't care.
I haven't read either one of them yet, but even... Like, the first two came out, and I was like, this is awesome! And then, like, 8 months later, the third one came out, and I'm like... I read it, and I was so just beyond, like, forgetting what happened in the first two issues. So now I think before I go back and start reading it again, I'm just going to go to the beginning and just read them all.
Yeah. Well, there's that, and the Batman stuff that DC is doing is just, there's too much of it, for one. And the big Batman event, Metal, so far, and I'm sure it's not going to get awesome, but I was super excited if Scott... Snyder and Greg Capullo getting back together to do this Batman maxi series with all these tie-ins and stuff. It's fucking boring. It's so boring. I don't even care about any of it. And the Batman Detective Comics books have been so lackluster. Started out kind of good, and now it's just this big mess where there's an underground thing, and there's a thing with Clayface, and it's like, I don't even care. The Tom King Batmans have been the only thing that's been pretty much great. It was hit or miss, and then, I hate to say it, they went to the Joker, and all of a sudden, best Batman story since Rebirth started. And an all-star Batman, every issue I read it, I'm like, okay, now he's fighting a pirate, And now there's a thing with a wizard, and I'm like, what is this? And I just, comics have been frustrating for me the last 3 or 4 months. And maybe it's just because I'm not really following what's going on.
Well,
and I don't mean just in the stories. I mean in the industry. That all said,
that's always been a problem with DC, though. They always have these big, huge initiatives, and then after a few months, they start freaking out because it's not going as well as they hoped, and then they start changing everything. And now you got Greg Capullo and Scott Snyder who are working on other shit, and they're like, hey, could you guys do this really quick so we can boost some sales? And then they're like, yeah, okay, fine. And then they throw something together. You know what I mean? Like, they're not working on it like they were
in their forewords. Well, this has been planned for years. And I'm maybe it has, but I don't know.
But you're probably rushing it now because you're in the middle of other shit.
I'm like, why is Blue Beetle in this thing?
I like Blue Beetle.
I'm just saying, there doesn't need to be every character in every book, and everything can't be a big thing, and I'm sick of big things.
It doesn't have to be a crossover all the time. I agree with that.
The two best things that I have been reading, I haven't finished it, and I don't know why. Probably because I just don't want to finish it, to be honest with you. But AD, the Scott Snyder, Jeff Lemire thing, that thing is amazing to the point where even though I have all these singular volumes, I think I want to buy the hardcover anyway because I want that on a bookshelf. But as expected, Ed Brubaker's Killer Be Killed officially kicks the ass every single month without fail.
Glad you said that.
Always good. It's never been like, oh, that was kind of a downer issue. Every issue officially rules. Ed Brubaker should just be given his own comic book company, and he should just put out all the stuff he wants. And he should be given his own TV network, and then he should be just given his own kingdom to run because that guy is the best.
I'm actually glad you mentioned that because I remember when we did the number one, I bought it on my Kindle, and I was like, I really like this, but I kind of feel like this is something I'm going to want paper copies of, like physical copies. So I wasn't going to go down the route of, you know, single issues. So I'm like, oh, let's do the trade. So I literally just bought the first two trades. So to find out that it's still kicking ass makes me feel better.
It has not had a single downer. If the first issue was a 9, they're all within an 8.5 to 9.5 every single month. Not to mention, even though I'm going to buy the deluxe super edition hardcover fancy library version when it eventually comes out, I like having every single issue because every single issue comes with back matter where he does his little, I've been watching this show and I just read this novel and this comic kicks ass and I've just been playing this video game and this all rules. But he also has a guest writer write a piece on an old noir film that you should watch, and I never know of, I have all these movies, I'm like, what? I never even heard of this. I gotta go rent this.
Did you just say rent?
Well, rent, buy, download, whatever.
I gotta get me the Blockbuster.
I gotta go down to Bates Video and get me the Betamax copy of whatever weird noir movie. But like, there's all kinds of old Lawrence. What's that guy? Lawrence Krauss, the dude from, not Lawrence Krauss. Who's the dude that was the old man in Reservoir Dogs? Lawrence Bender?
No, Martin Lawrence.
Whatever the guy's name is, I'll think of it later. There's some old movie that he's in that this woman wrote about that I was like, oh man, I need to see that. Another one, a dude that played Mike Hammer in Kiss Me Deadly is in some other movie where he was like a prisoner and he threw some dude off a cliff, and I was like, I need to see that. I need to see this Elliot Gould movie from the 70s. Yeah, there's a lot of good movie recommendations in the back of those Killer Be Killed.
There's just a lot of movies out there, and it sucks that I'm never going to be able to see them all before I die.
I want to see all the Killer Be Killed recommendations. That comic is...
You should make a list, and then we can do the movie roast on them. Boom.
I will do that, actually. That's not a bad idea. We should definitely do that.
I have ideas.
Yeah, we need to resurrect that. I kind of want to resurrect the Nightbeard show one of these days too.
I would be fine with that too, but I would also think maybe we should fully resurrect this show before we.
Yeah, I know. We got to do one at a time. But no, Killer Be Killed is Black Hammer is still good, even though I haven't read the last issue because I just, again, comics have just been bumming me out lately. Like, I feel like either I'm not keeping up with it or the stuff I'm reading just isn't that good. I feel like 2017 has been a down year for comics. Like, Doom Patrol's been awesome. Killer Be Killed has been amazing. Not much else beyond that, though. Black Hammer.
It's because you're not reading Bombshells.
No, that's true.
I've only been recommending it for 2 years. Why would you fucking bother reading it? It's not like you hadn't had time.
Because I don't want to buy more stuff that's going to sit there and collect dust. I'm finally starting to wade my way through the trade pile that I have, and some stuff I bought that I was really... there's a Paul Pope book, The One Trick Ripoff, And I found it for $5 brand new and at a convention. I was like, oh, man, I've heard so many good things about this. This is like a 90s classic and great, you know, it's like a kind of neo-noir thing. And I read it. And I'm like, this thing sucks. Oh, my God, this is terrible. I thought Paul Pope was supposed to be like the hot commodity of comics, and this thing is not good at all. And, yeah, there's just been other books. I'm buying them or I bought like a single issue of something, and then I go back and buy the trade, and I'm like, oh, this is not as good as I thought it was going to be. Just everything I've been reading lately has just been like, nope, nope, nope. Like one big nope after the next. So either I'm straying too far, or I think at this point I've kind of reached my point in comics like I have with music. Like, I know what I like. I don't want to see your robot ninja thing. Let me just stick with the things I know I'm going to like. Yeah. I'm an old man, and I got my taste, and I don't want to change, and I don't want to try new things.
Get off my lawn!
I'm at Get Off My Lawn with comics right now, in a big way.
It's a good thing you're hosting a show about comic books then, right?
Well,
co-hosting.
You know, Roger Ebert kept ripping on movies well into his 70s.
Yeah, but he probably thoroughly enjoyed it.
Oh, he thoroughly enjoyed making movies out to be garbage, yes.
Yeah, neat.
Richard Roper's in
that. Well, I guess at that point, you've probably seen it all. It's kind of hard, I guess.
No, there's a lot of comics I still want to read. Unfortunately, most of them are like 20 years, 30 years old.
Mm.
Like, oh, that Neil Gaiman thing from 89 sounds pretty awesome. Alan Moore from 87, Swamp Thing. Ooh, there's a thing that's coming out in comics that I'm super pumped for. There is a Swamp Thing maxi one-shot coming in January from Tom King, who is right now currently my favorite non-Ed Brubaker writer in comics. He's doing the Batman. He's also doing Mr. Miracle, I believe. He does.
Thought you were going to say Mr. America, and I was like, Mr. that would America. Be awesome.
He's doing that. He's doing Sheriff of Baghdad, I think that's what it's called, for Vertigo. But he's got a Swamp Thing maxi 100-page one-shot coming in January, which has his one-shot Swamp Thing story, which basically sounded like Cormac McCarthy's The Road, but with Swamp Thing. Which I'm like really super excited for because he did a Swamp Thing thing and a Batman issue that was really good. But also, it's Len Wein's final Swamp Thing story. He wrote it right before he died. So I'm like really, really, really looking forward to that.
Yeah, anything Swamp Thing is fine by me. Although some of the latest stuff I read, I wasn't super pumped on, but it was still good.
Which was the...
I don't remember. I feel like it had something to do with Rebirth. I don't know if he just showed up in somebody else's book, I think, maybe.
Could be.
But whatever.
I'm a big swampy guy. And I don't just mean because I sweat a lot.
Sorry for the visuals on that one, people.
In the area.
All right, so I guess we can move on to a Tomahawk. So this was my pick. After, Brian did the last one, Retcon, I believe it was.
Yes.
This one, basically, it opens up with this this robot, right? And his weapon is the Tomahawk. He doesn't remember a lot from his past, but he feels the Tomahawk speaking to him. And basically, his god has given him this weapon to go and find him because his god has been imprisoned for all these years, and now he's on the warpath trying to find and free his god. And so he's basically slaying everything on the planet. Humans, robots, machines, animals alike, doesn't matter. You're just toast. And basically the backstory you get later on is the god... They did give his name. I don't remember off the top of my head. Whatever. So this god was out there. He's wielding this Tomahawk. And it was imbued with all these crystals. And what happened was they finally got him and they were able to capture him. They destroyed the Tomahawk and these crystals scattered across the universe. So now this robot came across the Tomahawk, or the Tomahawk came across him, however you want to look at it. And now he has to go around and, you know, fight and kill and maim until he, you know, gathers these crystals, which makes every time he gathers a crystal, it makes him more powerful. It makes the weapon more effective, yada, yada. And, you know, he used to fight alongside the, what the hell were they called? the Knight Raiders or
Knight Raiders.
You know what I mean? Like, there was a group of dudes.
I'm not laughing because you're like, oh, that's so wrong. I'm laughing. I'm like, yeah, it probably is the Knight Raiders.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Come on.
You know, like that one guy, Bat Guy? He's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I know, right? Fucking idiot.
Spider-Man-ish. What?
Oh, his name, by the way, is the Cyberzerker. So let's
he teams up with Colonel America.
Oh, the Metal Knights. That's who they were. So he would fight alongside the Metal Knights. And now, later on in the story, now they're coming to fight him because they're all under the impression that if you find your god, you release your god, he is basically the be-all, end-all. He's going to kill everything, and you're going to fucking destroy the universe, blah, blah, blah. So now he's fighting his old teammates, and I guess what really drew me to this right off the bat is, well, first off, it's a larger issue. It's not as thick as a magazine, but it's definitely sized like a magazine. And the artwork, when I started flipping through it, almost has that like really like old school tattoo feel to it, which I thought was kind of awesome, which is part of the reason that I picked it up in the first place. Like I said, I really dig the artwork. The story, I feel this story would make an awesome video game. You start out as the Cyberzerker, you're level one. Every time you go to a different spot of the universe and slay the people and you get the crystal, that's like the end of the level, and then you gain a level and you gain more powers, more skills, blah, blah, blah. I feel like that'd be a really awesome video game idea. And I'm not saying it doesn't work in the comic, but I feel like the story was way too short to, I guess, convey the whole thing. Because it's basically only, there's three chapters in this book, and they're each like 5 pages each.
It was basically one level of Castlevania condensed into a comic book.
I feel like it was like almost the entire game condensed into a like 15, 20, 30 yeah, pages or whatever. You know, and I'm not saying it was bad. I just feel like, I'm not saying it feels rushed either, but it just, I feel like it was too short for its own good. I feel like they could have used.
But it barely had a story.
Yeah, but I mean, it had a great background story, but the story of how you get to where you're at, it was just basically hack and slash, hack and slash, hack and slash. Now I'm in a cave, hack and slash, hack and slash. You know what I mean? I feel like they could have, and it does say issue zero on top, so maybe there would be more, but I mean, by the end of it, you really wouldn't think that the story's really going to continue much longer. So I feel like it was really short.
I feel like if this comic came with a free download of Hallows Eve Monument, this would be a pretty awesome thing. Because the whole time I'm reading it, I'm just like, I feel like this is the album concept art for a Hallows Eve album that didn't come out. Probably, and if most people listening, I'm not trying to be that guy who's all like, look at me, I know stuff. But I'm going to guess that most people aren't really familiar with Hallows Eve, so I'll provide a little background. 1988, we're doing our paper routes. We go to the record store. There's a record at one of the record stores, Coconuts, we'll say, called Speed Metal.
Had to be Coconuts because that was where we frequented the most.
Back, that was before we found Cruising Music, yep.
Yeah.
So, we go to Coconuts, and there's a record called Speed Metal. And Scott's like, dude, I like Speed Metal. We're all like, we all like Speed Metal. You buy Speed Metal. So he bought Speed Metal. And it was a compilation from Metal Blade or Death Records or something. And it was like Voivod, Sodom, Destruction, Slayer, Omen. And Hallows Eve was one of the bands on there. I forget what song they had. But we were like, dude, that Hallows Eve band's pretty awesome. So fast forward about 8 months. We're at the record store again. Boom. New Hallows Eve album just comes out called Monument. Scott bought it. And we skated to that thing for like an entire summer because the song Speed Freak was kick-ass to skate Launch Ramp to. And, I'm sure the album probably sucks now, but like because of the nostalgia factor, like if it came on and I heard the Mighty Decibel, I'd be like, yes! So, again, Hallows Eve was a short-lived, I think they had 2 or 3 albums total, speed metal band from the mid to late 80s that no one really liked when they were around, maybe like 12 t-shirts were sold and maybe a bumper sticker. I don't know if a coffee mug existed. They're one of those weird bands that kind of came and went, and Like, what's that one pirate band that was out for a minute? Running Wild. They had an album called Under Jolly Roger.
I don't remember that at all.
They were a band that I knew nothing about until I was introduced to them 8 years after they broke up. And I was like, God, how did I miss this? They literally billed themselves as pirate metal.
Wow.
So they were way before Cradle of Filth. Not that Cradle of Filth was pirate metal, but Cradle, whatever. All these bands with their stupid themes. We're wizard metal. Woo! Hallow's Eve was basically just overweight stoner metal. Stoner speed metal. Every song was about epic volume and playing fast, which they didn't always do, but whatever. But yeah, I've talked a lot about Hallow's Eve because I feel like if they gave a free download of that album along with this comic, it would not only make the comic more appealing, it would make that album like a revived potential classic.
Well, I still have it. I'll fucking put it on right now.
If you want to throw like Malaya Rage on there as well.
No one wants to throw that on there.
Yeah, there's really like Bates Motel. That's really the only good song on there. And side note, Malaya Rage's drummer was Sully Erna from Godsmack, so that guy was not always a total jock metal jackass. He used to be a speed metal warrior.
He was, but then he realized where the money was.
That is true.
You better believe I would pogo stick up and down, chugga chugga into some rap any second right now for the money.
Oh, yeah, that guy, he probably owns like 5 strip clubs and a, you know, nice meth addict, you know, ring going on somewhere.
Yeah. So, yeah, anywho.
Back to the comic. Yeah, I just kind of felt like this was this had the story elements of an 8-bit video game for me. I didn't love it. But it does have a lot of... It does have a lot of appeal if you just go into it thinking 80s speed metal and 8-bit video games combined, then you might go, oh, I kind of get the gist and the appeal of reading this. But if you're looking for any sort of story, you're not going to find it here.
No. Unfortunately, I feel it could have been, if it was longer, I think it would be better. But a lot of the dialogue in the book, too, is just the inner thoughts of the Cyberzerker too. So it's not like you're getting a lot of interaction with the other characters. I mean, there's a little bit when he rips off the robot's head and it's still talking to him about, please don't kill me. And he's like, my tomahawk lusts for blood. Blah, blah. Well, it's a robot. There's oil maybe. But
or,
I mean, I'm not.
Or you know what? This could have also been like the comic book, the comic book companion to a weird mid-90s collectible card game that no one bought. Like, remember that one that they... I don't remember the name of the game, but I remember ANF was basically dumping their stock of it, so I bought, like, 20 starter decks. It was that one... It had the 2-eye stabber, and it had the really bad artwork, and I bought way too much of it, thinking, like, this game's gonna be amazing! And it was... You could have got 2 starter decks and had way too much already. And me, I bought, like, $40 worth of this shit because I'm an asshole. This would be the comic book companion for that game.
Nobody has a clue what game you're talking about.
Because I don't remember the name of it. It was called, like, Death Trap Dungeon Ass Master or whatever. I don't know.
All right,
somebody out there is going, Death Trap Dungeon Master of Ass. I'm going to make that game. And they're probably going to make a good version, which is going to be stupid.
And then it's going to be a Target exclusive.
Yeah, and it's going to sell, like, 150,000 copies, and that guy's going to quit his job, and all because of my awesome, terrible name.
All right, so that's about all we're going to, I think we can squeeze out of this one. Overall, like I said, it's not terrible. It's just, it feels short. The artwork, I actually really kind of dig. It's, you know, like I said, it's got the old, like, classical tattoo style of artwork, which I thought was kind of fucking awesome. So because I like the artwork so much and the story wasn't exactly terrible and it made me think it would be a great video game, I'll give it like a 6.5. I'm not going to go super, super low because, I mean, it's not like I hated it, but I feel like it, if it was longer, it could have been better.
I'm going to give it a 5. I didn't love it. I didn't really even like it, but I like the magazine size. I like the paper stock.
Yeah.
I like the layout. I kind of wish comics would go in this direction. This one was $5.99 as opposed to $2 or $3.99, but it kind of felt like it was more worth it to pay the extra $2 for the larger size.
You know what? Not to totally get off subject, but that's what drives me fucking nuts the most about Marvel. I mean, I'm not saying that DC is, you know, you know, bottom of the barrel comic books, because they're, you know, they were owned by what, Warner Brothers, right? So they're not scrapping for cash either, but, you know, they still don't charge any more than $2.99 a book.
Whereas that's kind of changing a bit.
Well, for the stuff that I'm still buying, it's $2.99. Everything I get from Marvel is $3.99, and they're owned by Disney, who is next to the Catholic Church, the richest corporation on the planet. You know what I mean? Like, you really need to fucking... You could give these paper copies away for free and still not feel a loss. Ouch. It just drives me nuts that they still charge $4.
Ouch, man.
But anywho, yeah, so that was a Tomahawk. It's decent. You know what I mean? So go to your store, flip through it. You'll see what I mean about the artwork, and, you know, it has moments. You know what I mean?
There are things.
Yeah,
and there's pages some, and
there's
artwork.
Words and letters and
punctuation
drawings. Yeah, there's definitely some advertisements words. In there too. Anywho,
yep, that just happened.
Time for broccoli. All right, sorry, that was a little Impractical Jokers reference for anyone who doesn't watch the show. Nailed it. So, moving on. Do we have anything else to really talk about, or we just jump into the over under. All right, over under. Like I said, this week, based on, you know, the Tomahawk being the signature weapon of the Cyberzerker, we're doing signature weapons, and basically right off the bat, I know everyone thinks the guy's badass, and he's like, you know, all the girls think he's so hot, but I'm gonna go with the Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon, and the crossbow. That is super. Super overrated weapon because of, in my opinion, the reload times. Like, yeah, if you're going one-on-one with a fucking zombie, who gives a shit? You know what I mean? Like, you can easily get them. But if you're in a crowd, that crossbow ain't doing you shit because it takes time to reload that. Even a regular bow, an experienced, you know, archer can literally load two or three arrows at a time. I've seen people hold three or four arrows in their hand and still shoot one at a time, like in quick procession. But when you have to load one arrow at a time into a crossbow, I feel like you're just at a huge disadvantage.
Could be right.
Because you got to pull it back, lock it into place, place the fucking arrow, then aim, then shoot, then pull it back, place an arrow. You know what I mean? It takes too long.
All right, my pick for overrated is presidential veto powers.
Wow.
Because now that as Jimmy Dore said on one of his recent YouTube videos, when he was berating Hillary Clinton for the millionth time, and he said, "You lost to a fucking game show host." And I was like, he's not wrong. You've given basically veto power to a guy who really shouldn't run a Little Caesars. So what does veto power really mean in the hands of a complete inexperienced doofus? And if we're just going to give the job to whoever now, I guess, I don't know, he's just going to veto stuff just to do it. Dude, so it carries no weight any longer.
If you're just going to hand the job to anybody, dude, sign me up. Because I'll take the $200,000 a year of life for the rest of my life.
Donald Trump is the manifestation of all the years of all these dudes with sauce stains on their shirts going, "I'll be president. I'll show you how it's done." Right. And now we're like, oh, shit, we're actually seeing how it's done now.
Hey,
and it's really not.
Can I elaborate? And I'm going to suggest a slight change to your answer.
Sure.
Not the veto power, but the pardoning power, because now that there are charges that have been filed in the Russia investigation against people in his camp, you know he's going to pardon them, all of them, and he'll probably have to pardon himself somehow.
Well, he's already asked if he can do that.
I know. That's the first thing he asked when he found out the investigation wasn't going away. So that right there tells you the man is guilty. But bottom line is, that's the real kick in the pants.
Yeah, I just...
Especially when the few people that still think he's the greatest are like, "Ugh, you guys, he's just American, he's a patriot." Dude, he literally paid Russia to get him elected. You call that a patriot?
Well, there's a lot more to that that keeps coming up. That's
I know. That's more for the Nightbeard show, I think.
Yeah. I'm just saying that to have the alleged powers that a president has, and now you've given it to literally Richard Dawson, it's like, yeah, what the fuck then? At this point, just give him a sword and the allowance to kill one person a week, because, I mean, it's that meaningless now.
Yeah.
You know, it's that ridiculous and meant for ridicule. But anyway, I don't want to go too deep into that. I just...
Yeah.
I kept going through superhero powers. I'm like, yeah, that one's stupid. Well, I see the use for that. No, well, that one's kind of useful.
It's kind of a tough one because I was going down the same road of superhero. And that's why I was like, oh, Daryl, he's not exactly a superhero. It's just a character from a TV show. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And also, really, you could pick anyone from The Walking Dead. Like Carl with a gun, really? Like, here, we're going to let this 12-year-old save the day. Fuck that kid. He's dumb. He doesn't know shit.
Yeah.
Plus, he's aging way faster than the stupid show.
That dude, I don't remember. I haven't watched the show in so long, but the guy that just carries the bat around. Whatever.
Gary?
Yeah. At this point, they're so interchangeable. So for underrated, this was actually, I'm still right now not sure who I'm going to pick because I have two in my head, but I think I have to go comic books and I think I have to go Scarecrow. Okay. We're talking about somebody who is an expert in the field of psychology and an expert in the field of chemistry. So yes, he uses his little concoction as almost a catalyst, but overall his power is your own mind, which is kind of, you know, he uses his little potion to induce the fear and the in you, and then he uses that, his powers of knowing about psychology, to manipulate you in a way that I think is more badass than people even think about, because most people probably don't think about Scarecrow too often, but he's always been one of my favorites since I first, you know, seen the guy. It's kind of an awesome, I guess you could say, weapon. You know what I mean? Because essentially he's using you against you. And I mean, that's kind of badass.
No, I do like... Scarecrow is one of the most underrated villains in all of comics, let alone the Batman universe.
Yeah.
I feel the same way about the Riddler, too, because according to the Bruce Timm lore, Edward Nygma was a game designer. And his thing was essentially, from what I recall, he was such a high IQ individual who created these games that were too complicated for mass market. So the company he worked for kept rejecting his designs to the point where they basically said, you're no longer welcome to work here because you're not helping us make money. And essentially what turned Edward Nygma into a supervillain was him going, oh yeah, you fucking think you're just going to fire me from this job? I'm the best game designer you have. I'll show you. I'll show everybody. And then he went crazy and became the Riddler. So that, to me, if that is the official recognized backstory of Edward Nygma, that's why he is one of the best Batman villains that no one seems to really appreciate, because initially, if you start off with the TV show from the 60s, like I did, you see a guy running around in a unitard, and you're like, this guy sucks.
Right.
But then you dig in and you find out, oh, no, this is not the true origin of Edward Nygma. This is way better. Plus, because I love games.
It makes you think that you can be the Riddler one day.
My games designs put me at the level of about Donald Trump as president of the United States.
That's pretty awesome.
My pick for underrated is going to be super obscure. Not obscure. Super unexpected, because I pretty much don't like this character. But I'm going to pick Spider-Man with the webs anyway, because I think flying is kind of a cop-out in a way. Like, oh, I could defy gravity. Look, I just fly. Woo!
Yeah.
But this guy can fly ostensibly, but he's still confined by gravity because he can't just shoot webs, catch a cloud, and just fly away. He has to latch onto something tangible, and he has, I don't know how long those webs are like sturdy enough to hold him up for, but I feel like if you can master that kind of travel between buildings and cities and things, I think that would make you like pretty amazing. But you can, like, oh, I'm not like Batman, who has these, well, Batman's got the shooty things as well. I don't know, I feel like the webs are a lot more dynamic. And that has always been my favorite aspect of Spider-Man. I mean, the crawling up a building is cool, too, but...
I'll tell you what. When I bought that Amazing Spider-Man for PS3 and played the shit out of it, sometimes there was nothing more fun than just zipping around the city like that.
Not to mention, I feel like if you're like me and you're afraid of heights, but you have these webs that you can literally pull yourself between two skyscrapers like that, I think your fear of heights would go away, knowing if you're falling from a 500-story building, let's say that doesn't exist, but let's say you're falling off the Sears Tower, you're halfway down, you can just go, oh, you know what, I forgot about the webs. Now I'm on a roof.
Well, also now see, now that's where it also depends on which Spider-Man you're talking about. The one that organically produces the web out of his wrists, or the one who uses the cartridges that can run out? I mean, it would have to be organic then, if because then theoretically...
Is that, like, produced by your semen, though? Because then that could theoretically run out, too, if you, like...
Why would it be produced by your semen?
How are you producing it, then?
How do spiders produce it?
I don't know. I'm not a spider expert.
They're called arachnids.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm just saying, like, we don't have the same biological...
Can you imagine if it was Arachnid Man?
That would be a terrible name.
That could be his sidekick, Arachnid Boy.
That would not be catchy at all. No one would buy that. I'm just saying that we don't have the same biological makeup as a spider, so we'd have to somehow figure out a way, or our bodies would have to figure out a way to create these webs. I just feel like semen would be the thing that would be in
the body. What if it's a woman?
Her ovulation period?
You're the worst at this. You are no biologist, my friend.
I never said I was.
It's clearly.
You're not either, so why are you...
I am! I... Past biology with flying D's, copying off Matt Gorse.
Matt Gorse has a girlfriend these days.
Yes, he does.
That's why he doesn't come around anymore.
Yeah, you won't imagine. Hear. I would much rather hang out with girls than you, so.
Wow.
Nailed it. All right, so. I mean, I'm going to throw it out there anyway. I was going to. My other honorable mention, we'll call it, was going to be Storm. Because she can literally control the weather, which can be kind of awesome.
There we go. Alex Jones.
Oh, yep. She works with Harp. I wish I could do the voice as good as Joe Rogan can. I really do, because I would probably never not do it.
If I could do it like Joe Rogan, I would pretty much talk like Alex Jones 24 hours a day.
Wow, what's next? What's next?
What did somebody call him recently? The living embodiment of a before ad and... the living embodiment of the before section of a heart attack ad or something like that. Maybe it was Seth Meyers. It was super funny because it was a picture of Alex Jones freaking out, and then they photoshopped like an emergency room behind him, and he was like, "Ah!" with his red face. That's pretty good.
I just had an epiphany we'll have to discuss later.
All right.
Anywho, that's pretty much, I think, going to wrap up over under. So moving on to best thing ever. I don't really have much, but seeing as though I'm the type of person that just never uses his vacation time because I'm too poor to go anywhere, so fuck it. You know what I mean? So now it's, you know, coming down to the end of the year, and I still have like 2.5 weeks worth of time to take. So I'm off next week. So that's hopefully going to be the best thing ever, provided I don't get so bored that I fucking just...
Show up at work?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, there's no amount of boredom that would make me want to go to work.
I hope not, but, you know, I can't afford to do all my hobbies, so I can only do so much. But my plan is to do some things, swap out that computer, maybe swap this table out with the other one, read a shit ton of comics... Listen to some records, because I got a couple of records hopefully that'll be here soon. So, yeah, it should be a good week.
Nice. Mine is super easy. The new Enslaved record came out last Friday. I didn't get it the day it came out because Best Buy is the worst place on the planet.
Duh.
But I did order it, and it came the next day, and I listened to it, and I hate to say this because it sounds cliche, but I think it's their best album ever. They have a new keyboardist / backing vocalist, and I really hate to down the other guy because the other guy really added the Pink Floyd-ish elements to that last 4 or 5 albums, but man, this new guy is really fucking good. They're really up in the King Crimson factor on these new songs. And the guy from Banger TV was complaining there's only 6 songs on the albums. Sort of true. If you buy the CD, there's a bonus track and another bonus track of a cover, or I think a Sisters of Mercy song that is way better than I would have ever expected a Sisters of Mercy song to be. So there you go. Anyway, record rules, Enslaved rules. A lot of weird chords and stuff. A lot of clean vocals on this record. And yeah, that's my jam. So, woo! Excited for new music for the first time in a while.
Woo!
But it's probably the best album of 2017, without a doubt. It's really good. The whole album's about a horse, too.
Neat.
It's about It's about Odin's horse.
A horse with no name?
And the horse's name is E. It's about Odin's horse.
So all the songs are in the key of E.
Yes, of evil.
Interesting. Well, there you have it. That is our show for the week. Hopefully we'll be back again next week. But if not, you can find all of our other previous shows at comicroast.com. You can find all of our written reviews at reviewandroast.com. You can find me on Twitter at xorsonx. You can find me on Instagram at slevin77. You can find Brian on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. If you're interested, his Instagram is Son of Movie Phone Guy. You can find our other Twitters at Review and Roast. You can find all kinds of just Google Review and Roast, and you'll find all kinds of goodies. So until next time, have a good week.